Understanding climate change is all about the data, and that is a growing business. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, the Trump administration took steps to limit climate science research within government agencies. It will reduce the timeframe covered by U.S. climate models and possibly stop including some kinds of projections, like worst-case scenarios. This is happening at a time when private industry is trying to increase climate intelligence. In our new series, How We Survive, we've been looking at how technology can help us adapt to and understand the risks of climate change. And reliable data models are a huge part of that effort. Emily Mazzacarotti is founder and CEO of the climate data firm 427, which helps businesses determine how extreme weather could impact them and prepare for how to deal with it.
For many years, we described ourselves as a climate adaptation firm as well. The first thing for adaptation is to understand your risks, right? And so that's really this foundational data layer that we provide. The only difference is the private sector calls it resilience and the governments call it adaptation, but it's really all moving in the same direction of preparing for those impacts.
What do the companies do after you've advised them? I mean, I imagine the simplest answer is don't buy there or don't build there.
It depends.
But, right, if they already have or they've already built.
There's a range of things that they can do that includes sort of hardening from an engineering standpoint their facility. It can be working with insurance to make sure that they're well covered in case of certain events. And adaptation, as we described it, that will protect not just this company's facilities versus another, but the entire community, including the workers that live nearby and the roads that bring goods and services, right? So whether it's well-understood self-interest or broader community interest, everybody's better off if we're all protected.
Do you feel like then the work that you do, because there is this argument that, well, the businesses that can afford your services are going to do fine and everybody else is going to be left to the high water. That got dark in a hurry. But it sounds like you're saying you see a broader benefit in working with these businesses and helping them adapt and stay where they are?
Absolutely. We do work with the very large corporations, and they have the power and the wherewithal to be huge influencers in their communities, in their supply chains. We're also seeing some of our clients understanding that small businesses are actually going to be much more vulnerable. And so there's a role of local governments and financial institutions to help channel this information through smaller businesses.
Are any companies coming to you sort of after the fact? You know, like, does Facebook know that they are going to be underwater in 20 years?
I believe they know that, yes. And we see some of everything. We see a lot of companies coming right now because their investors are asking questions. And we see companies coming, not so much here, but in Europe, in Asia, there's a lot of regulatory pressure. And so both investors and corporations fully expect that they're going to be under regulation in a matter of 12 months, pretty much.
Turning your attention somewhat to resilience and adaptation, does it feel a little more hopeful? Like, just to be doing something?
There are really dark days, to be honest, when we look at projections for certain parts of the world, when we read the latest scientific article on sea level rise or impacts on food productions globally. It can be a little rough, so we'd better be in the thick of things, helping move the ball forward and helping inform. The more data, the more information, the more likely we'll make the right decisions, the more likely people will pay attention. You can make the business case that this will be money well spent because look at the at the risks and at the costs. So there is a hopeful component, but we do work on a pretty dark topic.
Emily Mazzacarotti is founder and CEO of the climate data firm 427. And now for some related links. The New York Times reported Monday on the Trump administration's efforts to diminish the science around climate change and the kinds of reporting and modeling that previous U.S. assessments have offered. We talked in a previous episode about how the 8-country Arctic Council was unable to reach a consensus about its goals earlier this month because the U.S. delegation objected to climate change language. At that meeting, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also characterized the Arctic's diminishing ice levels as an opportunity for mining more fossil fuels and said it would open up new ocean passageways for commercial ships. But he didn't mention climate change in his speech. Scientists said the administration's efforts to undermine the science produced by the U.S. government will paint an inaccurately rosy picture of the next 20 years or so before significant warming really sets in. One told the Times that the effort, quote, reminds me of the Soviet Union. Scientists all over the world rely on U.S. data for climate modeling and predictions, but maybe for investors and entrepreneurs, moves to limit or downplay that information will only make private data more valuable. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Caroline in Brooklyn, New York, wrote to tell us she's a longtime fan of Marketplace Tech and appreciates the content and the mission. Thanks, Caroline. To join her in keeping Marketplace Tech going strong, donate online today at marketplace.org. And thanks to Caroline and all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.